Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed
from Romans chapter 4, verse 23. Now it was written, not for His sake alone, that it was imputed to Him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, and was raised again for our justification. And then 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope in the glory of God. Let's give thanks for these words. Let's pray that we'll be revived in them in the church, and the church will make this known to the world, even as Christ commanded to preach the gospel to every creature, and with a promise, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. The warning also, he that believeth not shall be damned. Believing on him, as we read it here, is justification, just as if we had never sinned before God. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ. We come giving thanks in his name for what is described here, the way of peace with thee through Christ. We give thanks that it is written, and that we may know it, and that we do not just have to hear it by tradition. And we think of how quickly those that rely on tradition add to it the tradition of men, and not only the tradition, as Paul speaks of it, of himself. We pray, Father, that we might know these words, we might know all of thy word, as thou hast said by the pen of Moses, and thou, Lord Jesus, did repeat to Satan, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And we pray, Father, that we might in the church soon believe every word rightly, that we might believe together, that we might be made one by the word and in the word. We think of this time shortly after the ascension of the Lord Jesus, and how we read of the church described, that early church, that they were in one place, in one accord, in prayer and supplication. We pray that thou wilt teach us that, as well as to believe, to pray, and to do all that thy word commands us in hearing and doing, and especially in prayer, that we might pray until thy Spirit comes again in a mighty way, as it was described there after they were doing that on the day of Pentecost, and as we could see it happening at different times throughout history, that the church was revived. The church was awakened again to truth, both in believing it and doing it. And we pray for such a blessing again in the church that will affect our homes, that will affect us individually, that will affect us as a nation. And then that we will be a salt and a light in the church throughout the nation and to the world. We pray, Father, for other blessings also, for those who are suffering, the homeless, the hungry, the war-torn lands, the persecuted. We pray for those in sickness and injury. We pray for that blessing on, especially those that will be left in the illness through life and those that will soon meet the end death, that they might be prepared through Christ, that they may be washed in the blood of the Lamb. We pray, Father, for thy blessing on homes, especially the broken homes, the children of those homes, also that the church will teach again what thou hast joined together, let not man put asunder. We pray for all these blessings in spiritual ways first, but also in the ways of nature. And we give thanks for the blessing that we have in nature, and pray for those that are suffering under the ravages of nature, the earthquakes, the hurricanes, the tornadoes, and other calamities that have been there for others. We pray it all and give thanks through Christ. Amen. As we look once again at last verses in the fourth chapter, we have been there for quite some time, but it is very, very important. I read of two men that were described as moving away from the right view of justification, two in history that were recognized as very good men in other ways, one especially in ethics of right works, even left a mark in the whole area in which he lived, that it changed the way people lived. But we must have more than just the way we live. We must know that we have sinned. We must know we must be forgiven, not just think we have better works and all will be well. We have to still know that in spite of how much better it may become, we come short of the glory of God, that we, without Christ, are included in that number. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Christ said just before his death, that without me you can do nothing. So we must receive him. And to receive him rightly, we will need what we have here. As Abram was described in this fourth chapter, then David, and now here we are told, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. We looked at those words last week somewhat, believed on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, particularly who he is. We saw how Isaiah would see him high and lifted up, and then realized he was a man of unclean lips. He had to have the coals to touch his lips and to cleanse them. We also think of Job, who different times was spoken to by God, God especially as creator, and after God began to speak to him in a particular way, after Elihu had spoken to him, Job answered the Lord and said, I am vile. I will lay my hand on my mouth. I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice I will proceed no further. He was quiet before the Lord, and we must all become that way. If we go back to the third chapter here in Paul's letter to the church at Rome, we read that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world become guilty before God. Isaiah saw it, Job saw it, and we must see it as well. We must have that blessing of being taught by God, taught by his holy law. Paul calls it later, writing to the Galatians, a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. As we also can read in the third chapter of this letter, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified, but by the law is the knowledge of sin. Paul had it for himself, and now he could write it to this church at Rome, and as well, this also is written not for them alone, but for us. If we have ears to hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches. Yes, the Spirit led Moses. The Spirit led David. The Spirit led Isaiah. All from God to us, as it is written. We read that in verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. God proved that, and still is being proved today, especially the spiritual way. If we are Christ, no matter what nation we're in, we are Abram's seed. But coming back to this here, not only must we see who God is in his greatness and be humbled before him, I think also of where we read in Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15, For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones. God high and lifted up, but he will dwell with us. First of all, because of Christ, but also in teaching us, humbling us, till we know we need to repent before God, and we need Christ as the mediator between us and God, and Christ to have died for us and shed his blood, and then God raising him again, and believing on that God, believing in him rightly, we read here by the pen of Isaiah, dwell with him that is of a humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones. God tells us more than once what he will do. He will be in the holy place with him. He will revive the spirit of the humble one, the contrite one. What a blessing can be ours. How much we need it today. I hope we can do like the apostles were described. The 120 and others were gathered together in one place in prayer and supplication, as we can read it in the first chapter of the book of Acts, after the Lord Jesus ascended, and we may believe they did that for those next 15 days until the Spirit came with the sound of a mighty rushing wind and with tongues of fire on their heads as a sign, baptized by not only the Spirit, but by fire. What a blessing. What a blessing followed it on the day of Pentecost and in the days following, all because of Christ. Christ's death, but also of his resurrection. And we must continue on here, believing on him, and then what he did, raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. He is, with Christ, the God of resurrection. Yes, not only did he raise up Christ, but others were raised up. When we read Christ dying at the very same time, the Gospel of Matthew, we read that the graves of many of the saints were opened, and many arose and appeared later in the holy city, Jerusalem. God did that. God, because of Christ and through men, through Peter, through Paul, raised up the dead. Christ himself raised up the young man who was in the coffin with a widow mother. He raised up the daughter of Jairus. He raised up Lazarus. He says, Lazarus, come forth. And he did. So we have the God of resurrection and the Lord Jesus as well, who did the same. He raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. Jesus, we might say the name of humiliation. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sin. How would he save them? As Paul writes to the Galatians, he became a curse for us. He humbled himself to the death of the cross. We hear it, but I don't think we really think of the awfulness of it. Death on the cross, hung up, refused by man, forsaken by God. Christ had to cry out on that cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Do you know the answer? He forsook him because of your sin, my sin, all the sins of those who will ever be saved and have the blessing of justification. He had to suffer in that way, not only the awfulness of the crucifixion on the body, but being forsaken by God. Jesus, but not only given the name of Jesus, Jesus our Lord. Jesus, the one refused and hung on the cross, was cursed as Lord. As Peter said on the day of Pentecost, that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. He is all things needed. He is Creator. He is with the Father, Lawgiver. And he is, as Isaiah says, Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of his kingdom there is no end. It will continue through all of eternity. He was there before the foundation of the world. He was there with the Father, creating the world. As Paul said, God hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, by whom he created the worlds, and upholdeth all things by the word of his power. We have, I'm afraid, lost the struggle to make that known. A number of years ago, that has happened. And more in recent years in our area, some of the seminaries, the professors, began to deny the story of creation, call the first chapters in Genesis a myth. If we call that a myth, we are liars. And all liars go in the lake of fire, right from the seminaries, right from the colleges, teaching the lie, calling a theory a lie. Oh, they say, science proves it. Then if you say, give me proof, there's none. No one can prove the Bible wrong. God's story of creation is actual history. And it's there not only in Genesis, it's there all through Scripture. And it's that God who raised up his Son Jesus. And it's that Jesus who was there with the Father when they said together, let us make man. And we were made in God's image. Hard to understand, hard to fathom, but it's true. made in God's image, the Holy God. And yet we fell in sin. And that's why we have to read earlier in this chapter about Abram also believing on him. We read that twice. We read it in the first part of the fourth chapter. Abram believed on him who justified the ungodly. We must believe with Abraham on him, that same God that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. We can probably understand that phrase, Jesus our Lord, in the way that Paul wrote to the Philippians. He told us and told the Philippians that we must have the mind of Christ, how Christ was humble. We need that humble mind with the Lord Jesus as he has it, and as he is an example to us as well as a Savior and a Lord. Paul said, he who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, humbled himself and took on him the form of a man, and went to the death of the cross as Jesus, Savior. Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Save them from the punishment of it. Also, save from the power of it. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. But then what? Paul says, wherefore, after Christ humbled himself to the death of the cross, wherefore, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Yes, he is Lord of lords and King of kings. He is Lord of all. Jesus, our Lord, is the one that God raised from the dead and the one that you must believe in. We can have the blessing that Abram had if we believe on him who raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. We must know the one who did raise him. We must know the one who was raised. And we must know why he was raised from the dead. Because he died. He died on the cross. He was buried. But he rose again the third day. Because God raised him from the dead. And we must believe that and believe it fully. Believe it rightly, as the Scripture teaches us. And as we read twice here, as it is written, as it is written. How do we look at that? How do we hear it? Do we hear it the way God wants us to know it and can then bless us in it? When he says, also by the pen of Isaiah, to this man will I look, who is poor and of a contrite heart, and trembleth at my word. We should tremble at these things and say, do I understand them rightly? Do I believe on him rightly, both the Father and the Son? Do I? Do we? With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Are we proving that we believe it by telling others, Christ died for my sin? God raised him again from the dead for my justification. That's what Paul is writing here. He was delivered for our offenses. Paul says, yours and mine. And was raised again for our justification. Yes, as I said, that must be in the forefront. It came to the forefront of the Reformation with Martin Luther. Sometimes Martin Luther is criticized that he did not emphasize enough of right living and good living. But at one time he said, I'm afraid if I emphasize that, people will trust in their works. He gave that as a reason why he didn't emphasize it more and wanted to keep justification on the high plane that it was in his understanding, his preaching. We may not agree with all those different ways and things, and we can certainly go to extreme on one and minimize or neglect other things. And sometimes that was done by the Reformers. One went this way, one went that way. And they didn't agree with each other, probably enough, and left a wrong mark that way. We must believe in it all. We must believe in it as Paul states it here. And we must believe in God's way in Christ, as James also states it later. Faith without works is dead. But remember, it's not faith and works for our salvation. It's faith with works that follow. Faith with works that are a result of our being justified, our being forgiven, pardoned, and then being thankful and want to give back to God, as Paul said. Therefore, by the mercies of God, I beseech you to present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable, which is your reasonable service. He goes in the 12th chapter looking back on all of this, and because of this, which is first and must be first, God must stop you, then save you, change you, then use you. God's order. Those things may not all come that clear. Sometimes we want to change things and then are satisfied. I've said it's very easy in the church to make people change in certain ways enough to make them proud. But it's not easy to make them humble. And that's what we have to realize. We must become humble with Isaiah, with Abraham, who believed on him who justified the ungodly. And Abraham also believed on him who could raise the dead. And he knew it in his own body, which was dead, 100 years old and having a son. The deadness of Sarah's womb, the God of resurrection, gave her the ability to have a child at that age, after it ceased to be with her as women. She was dead in the womb, but the God of resurrection told her and asked her, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Nothing then, and nothing today, and nothing tomorrow. Oh, will we believe it? Will we believe it as Christ said, "Men ought always to pray and not to faint," giving the example of the unjust judge, declaring, "How much more will God hear those who cry to him day and night? Though he bear a long time with him, he will answer them speedily." Oh, that God might give a speedy answer today. How we need it so many ways in our individual lives, in the home, in the church, in the nation, in the world, everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. We have been afflicted with this virus. Some will say it's more political than scientific, the way we're thinking about it. Like they sometimes say, time will tell. But it may tell too late if we succumb to it. And if we do not rightly believe on him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, the just shall live by faith, faith in God. As Solomon said, "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths." Oh, how we fail in that. Instead of in all of our ways acknowledge him, we come to him when we're in trouble. We should come before the trouble is there, and there would not be so much trouble, especially with our sin. But we can give thanks that he was delivered for our offenses, and he was raised again for our justification. If we're not in Christ, we are in danger of judgment. Let's rightly think of it, individually, in the home, in the church, in the nation. We are in danger, and we need to believe on him who gave his son in his love. Whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.